Good morning. Question for you. Is it easier for you to pray like a rule-breaking, adulterous, polygamous murderer, or like someone who's grown up in the church? Well, I might as well just sit back down. Wow. This is going to be a shorter sermon, but you might have just shortened it completely. What's the difference? She says, is it easier for you to pray like a rule-breaking, adulterous, murderer, polygamous, or someone who's grown up in and around the church? If you are new here, if you don't know who I am, my name is James. I'm on staff here. We do welcome you. A lot of you stayed home because of the heat, so if you're watching online, it's good to see you. If you are new here, we have, let me catch up what we've been doing. For the last almost 7 months, we've been reading through the Bible together. With this Bible in a year, it's got a couple different passages, four different passages each day. And as we're reading, we ask the question, where's Jesus? Where's Jesus in this text? Where's his heart, his compassion, his challenge, his charge, his love? Today, we're going to keep going in that same direction, but we're going to do it in a slightly different direction. That sound good? You're like, I don't know. Let's go back to James, like, let it be done. We're going to go a slightly different direction while still going in the same direction. All along, we've been asking, where's Jesus in this text? This morning, we're going to ask, where's Jesus been in your life this last year? Okay, if you don't get the midweek, then you missed out on the opportunity to pre-think for this. And if you don't get the midweek, I'd encourage you to fill out a connection card. We'll put your email on that. So this morning, we're going to have some dialogue. I'm going to talk a little bit shorter, and then we'll have dialogue about where you have seen Jesus moving and working in your lives today. That's the different, and the same is that as I share where my answer is, I'm going to tie in some of our passages for today, because the preacher's got to preach. Amen? You guys are like, you don't have to. Come on. All right, so where have I seen Jesus moving in my life lately? In the last few weeks, it's been specifically in times of prayer, all right? Now, you probably not how you're thinking. There are seasons in life, ebbs and flows in life, where sometimes your prayers are passionate, infinite, I mean, heartwarming. You just feel like Jesus is sitting right next to you. And then there's other times where it feels like you're talking to a brick wall. Am I right, or is that just me? Okay, so it's just me and you. Okay, so I got a gentle nudge, I got a swift kick, I got a Jesus reminder this past week as I was studying for this morning's service that I need my life and my prayers not just to be directed toward Christ, but to be directed by Christ. Okay, not just to be directed toward Christ, but to be directed by Christ. It started when I read the psalm for today. I won't read all of it, but I'll read the first six verses and then the last verse. Psalm 17, 1-6. O Lord, hear my plea for justice. Listen to my cry for help. Pay attention to my prayer, for it comes from honest lips. Declare me innocent, for you see those who do right. You have tested my thoughts and examined my heart in the night. You have scrutinized me and found nothing wrong. I am determined not to sin in what I say. I have followed your commands, which keep me from following cruel and evil people. My steps have stayed on your path. I have not wavered from following you. I am praying to you because I know you will answer, O God. Bend down and listen as I pray. He prays a bit more, and then he finishes with this in verse 15. Because I am righteous, I will see you. When I awake, I will see you face to face and be satisfied. After reading that, the inner critic in me, or maybe it was the Holy Spirit, said, James, do you pray like that? Can you pray like that? Would you be comfortable praying like that? I mean, because you look at it and he's like, declare me innocent because I do right. You've tested my thoughts, examined my heart, you've scrutinized me, you've found nothing wrong. My steps have stayed on your path, I have not wavered, I am righteous, and I will see you. The conversation went a little bit like, hey James, yes, yes, Lord, can you pray like that? Do you pray like that? Would you be comfortable praying like that? And my response, Maybe not the past couple weeks. Why not? Listen, I'm not secretly heading up some sort of drug cartel. I'm also not living in all sorts of secret sins behind closed doors or anything, but I feel like my prayers sometimes would mimic more what the Apostle Paul would say than what David said in this psalm. See, our New Testament reading in the last couple days, we've been in the book of Romans, the letter that Paul wrote the church in Rome, and it's been thick. It's heavy. It's heady. There's a lot that's in there. And if Jesus asked me, James, why can't you pray like David? My response would be, well, Lord, listen to this. I resonate more with Paul in Romans 7. And I know that nothing good lives in me. That is, in my sinful nature. I want to do what is right, but I can't. I want to do what is good, but I don't. I don't want to do what is wrong, but I do it anyways. But if I do what I don't want to do, I'm not really the one doing wrong. It's the sin living in me that does it. Verse 21, I have discovered this principle of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another power within me that's at war with my mind. Now, this power makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? Anybody else feel like this ever? Again, or is it just me? There's two of us at least. Is it easier for you? Maybe a little bit more raw, authentic, honest to pray like that than to pray like King David was praying earlier? Am I making sense? Is it easier for you to pray like an adulterous murderer or like someone who's grown up in the church? Because Paul grew up in the church. King David, let's be honest, was a murderous, adulterous, census-taking, wrongdoing, how many wives did he have type of guy? But he was a man after God's own heart who loved him deeply and dearly, so don't let me paint too bad a picture of him. The Apostle Paul was the, I grew up in the church, and I've never done anything wrong type of guy. You see that in Philippi, in the letter he wrote to Philippi, chapter 3, verses 4 through 6. Though I have confidence, I could have confidence in my own effort, if anyone could. Indeed, if others have reason for confidence in their own efforts, I have even more. Listen to this guy. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I am a pure-blooded citizen of Israel and a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demand the strictest obedience to the Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. And as for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. Wow. Without fault. Now, here's a guy who could pray along with King David in Psalm 17, right? Declare me innocent because I do what is right. You've tested my thoughts. You've scrutinized me. You found nothing wrong. My steps have stayed on your path. I've not wavered. I will see you because I am righteous. And I will see you. And yet at the end of that passage in Romans 7 that I read, he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin and death? I could pray, Lord God, I want to pray like King David, but I feel more like the Apostle Paul most times. And I could say, will you help me? And I'm confident Jesus would respond, yep. Because he doesn't always use these and thous. Sometimes he would say, yep, I can help you. In fact, he would say, today, James, you're a day ahead in your Romans reading. We're not there yet. He would say, go back and read for today and see what it says. Oops. Sorry, Lord. It says in Romans chapter 7, a little bit earlier, for today's reading. So my dear brothers and sisters, this is the point, Paul writes. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ. And now you are united with him. Sorry. And now you who are united with him. I'm going to start that again. Might have someone else read it for me. You died to the power of the law when you died with Christ, and now you are united with the one who was raised from the dead. As a result, we can produce a harvest of good deeds for God. When we were controlled by our old nature, sinful desires were at work within us, and the law aroused these evil desires that produced a harvest of sinful deeds, resulting in death. But now we have been released from the law, for we died to it and are no longer captive to its power. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. So the conversation would go something like, hey, James, yes, Lord, you can't pray like David on your own. And yet with me, through me, in me, when God looks at you through me, you can pray like both David and Paul. That's how Paul ended tomorrow's section of reading. When he says, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life of death that is dominated by life, by sin and death? Thank God the answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. The answer is in Jesus Christ our Lord. Paul said this in many different ways, in many different places. Romans 6, verse 4, I think is up on the screen. For we died and were buried with Christ by baptism. Okay? And just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glorious power of the Father, now we also may live new lives. That's that, hey, with Christ you can do this. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 13 says this. But now you have been united with Christ. Once you were far away from God, but now you have been brought near to him through the blood of Christ. And then another time in the church, in the letter to the church at Corinth, Paul says this. Then when our dying bodies have been transformed into bodies that will never die, this scripture will be fulfilled. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? For sin is the sting that results in death, and the law gives sin its power. But thank God he gives us victory over sin and death through our Lord Jesus Christ. Back to today's reading in Romans. Now we can serve God, not in the old way of obeying the letter of the law, but in the new way of living in the Spirit. The answer is in Christ Jesus. So then the conversation, we can say amen to that. The answer is in Christ Jesus. Period. Almost end of story. Okay? So it's as if God would ask me, James, are you willing to pray like an adulterous, murderous sinner? Are you willing to pray like someone who's grown up in the church? Because in and through and by me, you can do both. I'll help, he says. This is where Jesus has been moving and working in me, at least in this last week, at least in the last couple of weeks. Where is Jesus? Reminding me again of a lesson I've learned before, but more than likely will continue to have to learn in the future. In Christ, through Christ, with Christ, my life and prayers can continue to be changed. Thank God for that. Amen? Amen. All right, now, how about this? I'm going to pray. And then we'll open it up to you guys to share where you've seen Jesus moving in your life this year. You got 7 months to think of a time or a place, all right? We can't read Scripture and ask the question, where's Jesus, without also reading the story of our lives and ask that same question. Let me pray. Jesus, thank you for the way you've been working in me in the last week and a half, 2 weeks. Thank you for the reminder that it's only in you, through you, by you, that I can even function, let alone pray, whether it's like King David or like the Apostle Paul. I pray that this would be a truth that sinks in this time even more deeply than it had sunk in the past. Lord, as we celebrate what you've been doing in and through us here this morning, we give you the glory and the honor and the praise. And all God's people said, amen.